If you don't mind taking your Bibles with me, turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 3. Book of Hosea, chapter 3. Once again, in chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, for an omer of barley and a half omer of barley." I'll end our reading there. I think if we were going to try to say what the single greatest thought to ever enter into the heart and mind of man would be, I think it would be this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you really think through what that means, there really is no greater thought, no greater assurance that any man, woman, or child, any human being could ever have than to be able to say, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He who is convinced of this can go through any trial, go through any valley, can scale any mountain, can deal with any hardship, because they are convinced that Jesus loves them. But I have to say that sadly, these words are also the cheapest words in America today. Some of the cheapest words. You'll see the phrase, "Jesus loves me," or "the love of Jesus," plastered on billboards everywhere. You may see it on a magazine cover in some store. You may see it on TV. But the words are cheap, my friends. And they're cheap because this world knows a Jesus who is not holy, a Jesus who is not the Lord, a Jesus who is not the God of heaven and earth. They're cheap because this world does not understand the weight of sin and what it means that Jesus loves a sinner like you and like me. These words are cheap because the world does not understand what love is either. To them, typically, love is a fleeting emotion. It's something that happens. It's not something that is unchangeable. It's not something that is a choice, really, of the will. It doesn't sacrifice. It doesn't give. It's just a feeling. And so the phrase, "Jesus loves me," has little weight today. And unfortunately, sometimes the lack of weight in that statement that the world continues to portray filters into the church. And many times believers even have a wrong view of what it means that Jesus loves them. They may say and confess, "Jesus loves me. Of course I know Jesus loves me." But it doesn't really have the great weight that it ought to. It's such a common phrase. "Jesus loves me." We sing this song with, you know, with children in Sunday school, "Jesus loves me, this I know." We all know that. But it doesn't have the weight that it ought to. And really we need to ask the question, what does it mean that Jesus loves me? How does Jesus love me? What kind of love does Jesus love me and you who are a believer with? Well, I have good news for you this evening. We find the answer to that question in the book of Hosea. If you look with me at Hosea chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. What the Lord is saying is, Hosea, I want you to go love this woman, which I'll explain, because this is how I love my people. And if you want to know how Jesus loves his people, you need to look at how Hosea loved his wife. Because God said, the way that Hosea loved Gomer is the way that I love my people. You see, Hosea came as a prophet to Israel at a time when they were in great sin. If you remember, after Solomon passed from the throne, the kingdom was split into two. There was the northern kingdom, Israel, and the southern kingdom, Judah. Hosea came to preach to the northern kingdom. He was the last prophet before they went into Assyrian captivity. The people had fallen into every sin imaginable by this time. It says in chapter 4 and verse 2, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing, committing adultery. Shall I go on? They had done everything imaginable. You would think that they had absolutely exhausted the long suffering and exhausted the mercy of God. And so Hosea is sent with a message to Israel before they go into captivity. And the Lord tells Hosea, I want you to go marry a woman who is going to be unfaithful to you. And in your relationship to her, I want you to show my people that my love and my mercy has not been exhausted. And so in order to see how God loves us, like Hosea, we need to begin in the story with the first part, which is the marriage. The marriage. We read in the first chapter of the book of Hosea, in chapter 2, the Bible says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. The Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Now there is some speculation about what is meant by this, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms. Some people say that Hosea was commanded by the Lord to go marry a woman, who was a prostitute. But others say that that wouldn't have been in accordance with what God would have given as a command to Hosea. And because of the picture that this is supposed to portray of God's relationship to Israel, this is probably a woman who would become a prostitute. Because when the Lord married Israel in Exodus 19, when they were made a nation, and the Lord came in a covenant with Israel, they proclaimed that they would be faithful to the Lord. It wasn't until later that they had become spiritual adulterers and adulteresses to the Lord. And so some think that this is a woman who had the spirit of whoredoms in her, who would become a prostitute, who would be unfaithful. Now, I personally take that view, that she was a woman who would become a prostitute. It does say in the book of Hosea that Israel had the spirit of whoredoms within her. I tend to believe that this is talking about a woman who was not a prostitute at the time, but would become one. But nevertheless, Hosea was told to marry this woman. We find that her name in verse 3 was Gomer. Now, I want you to understand that when Hosea was told to marry Gomer, he really loved her. It wasn't as if the Lord said, Hosea, I want you to go marry Gomer. I know you don't have any feelings for her. I know you don't love her, but just do it because it's a picture of me and Israel. No, Hosea really loved Gomer. This was a woman that he loved. He married her. He loved her. By the way, there was nothing in Gomer's heart to cause Hosea to love her. Because the Lord already told Hosea, she is going to be unfaithful to you. May I say, there is nothing in you and there is nothing in me to move God to love us. When the Lord talks about how He loves Israel in Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 6, He says, I chose thee, I loved thee. Why? Because I loved you. He says, not because you're greater than any people, not because there's anything special about you, but I love you because I love you. There is nothing in you this evening, not one thing, not one thing in and of yourself to move God to love you. You don't deserve any of God's favor, any of God's love at all. In fact, what you and I deserve is God's wrath, His anger, and His curse. But the Lord said, Hosea, I want you to go marry this woman named Gomer, even though she had the heart of a prostitute and she'd be unfaithful to you. That's exactly what the Lord did for us. How many times have you been unfaithful to Him? How many times have you turned your back on Jesus? And yet, praise God, He'll never stop loving you because of what you do, because He never started loving you because of what you do or who you are. What you are and what you do is not significant. God loves you sovereignly. He loves you eternally. He did not begin loving you because you were something or because you did something. He began loving you because He decided to love you. So that's humbling to us, but it's comforting to us. So Hosea goes to marry this woman named Gomer. I can imagine. Can you imagine the day that they got married? Much like some of us, whoever's married in this building this evening, you remember what it was like. You got engaged. You got married. You were so excited to spend any time that you could with that person. Your heart was overflowing with love. You remember that wedding day? Remember how thrilled you were? Looking in the eyes of your wife or wives in the eyes of your now husband. How much you loved them. Promises you made to them. You wanted to be with them. By the way, may I say, have you lost that love for your husband or your wife? I'm thankful that God never loves us any less. But we're not that way, are we? Imagine the day that Hosea married Gomer. I want you to understand this was a real marriage. They really loved each other. Just like you, who are husbands, love your wives. They really loved each other. They were in love. And as they stood there and they were married, this is a beautiful picture. And you see, this is a lot like what it was when we first got saved. When did we come into covenant with God? When did we become married to God? When by faith we trusted in Jesus. That was the day that we were married to the Lord. Do you remember the day you got saved? Or the time that you got saved? You remember how much you loved the Lord? I remember. Remember how excited you were to open the Bible? Remember how thrilled you were to go to church and sing hymns and hear preaching? Remember how you wanted to tell people about Jesus? Do you remember what it was? You just wanted to spend time with Jesus. I'm sure you know what that's like. This was the marriage. But you see, unfortunately, Israel did not stay that way. And unfortunately for us, we don't stay that way either, do we? Our love grows cold. And prone to wander, Lord, we feel it. Prone to leave the God we love, we pray. Take our heart, O God, and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Because we depart from the Lord just like Israel. The picture is a beautiful picture. The Bible even says that they had a son. They named him Jezreel. It's a beautiful family. Can you imagine? They have a house, perhaps, and they've got a little boy, Jezreel. They love one another. They have a good marriage, a good family together. But then everything changes. come to the second part of this story, the adultery. Something interesting happens after the birth of Jezreel. There are two more children born to Hosea and Gomer. And their names are Loruhamah and Loami. Now the interesting thing is that verse 3 says that Gomer conceived and bare him, that means Hosea, a son, and they named him Jezreel. But the other two daughters, it doesn't say that Gomer bare him a son. And the names of these girls have to do with God's threat of turning his back upon his people in the sense of his judgment. And so many think that both of these children were not Hosea's. Now, can you imagine how Hosea must have felt as he found out that his wife had been unfaithful to him, had cheated on him? Let's put it in a modern context today. Because I want you to be able to enter into the pain that Hosea would have felt. Can you imagine, husbands? Perhaps you come home and this could happen, you know, and it happens, unfortunately, in our world. You come home and there's something comes up on the cell phone. Somebody's texting your wife. And if Hosea lived today, you know, he picks up the phone. Who is this? He reads it. It seems a little too intimate and romantic to be just a normal friend relationship. And can you imagine how his heart would have started beating and his stomach turning in knots? And when Gomer gets home, he says, what's going on? And can you imagine when Gomer looks at Hosea and says, I have something to tell you. I'm in a relationship with another man. And by the way, I'm going to have a baby. Can you imagine the heartbreak Hosea felt? I mean, this is his wife. He loves her. Can you imagine what it feels like to know that your wife has been with another man? And she's going to have a baby? Is there anything more heart-rending? Is there anything more painful? Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that what God is saying is this. This is how you make me feel when you sin. Do you understand that? He says, Hosea, I want you to go marry Gomer, and I want you to feel the pain of what it is to watch your wife turn her back upon you and be unfaithful to you, because that's what my people do to me. And I want you to know that it grieves the Lord. And when we turn our back on the Lord, and when we backslide, and when we depart from Him, and we live in sin when we know we ought not, God is grieved. In the same way that a man looking at his wife being unfaithful to him has his heart broken. Now, I don't understand all that God is. I understand that God is not like a man. He doesn't have the same emotions. I understand all of that. I do. But if you read, I believe it's Hosea chapter 11, and you read what the Lord says about His people. He says, how shall I deliver thee up, Ephraim? Meaning, how can I let you go? And he says, my heart is turned within me. My compassions are warm in me. I cannot let you go. He uses descriptive terms of emotion.